So the word church, how do you, the question's about membership, right? What is membership in the church? And to talk about that, you've really got to figure out what the word church is. And the word church is not a good word. In English, it's a complete mess up. It's like one of the worst words in translation that we've got. And it's because it doesn't in any way convey what the original language conveys. And then because its root is a different word that is normally translated the way that it should be. That is, the root of the word is call, to call, like to shout for someone, phone call, right? No phones, but that's the root of the word. Now, how much can you hear the word call in the word church? Like, it's just not even there at all. But now, if every time you're reading through the New Testament, when it comes to the word call or called, you just heard it as churched, churching, it would ring the way that the original word rings. Okay. So the original word ecclesia, it's not just call, it's call out. Okay. But you would still say call out. It's the same root, call. And that is only used, this word ecclesia, a few times by Jesus. And the New Testament authors use a little bit more in the epistles, but not a ton. It's not the most used word. And again, certainly in the Gospels. But Jesus does use it a few times. So Matthew 16, verse 18. After Peter has confessed that he is the Christ, and Jesus tells him that he's a little rock, and on the big rock, which again, you don't even see that in the Greek either, right? Because it's, there are two different words there for rock, Peter and rock. I will build my ecclesia, my calling out, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, Lutherans are wont to say that you are the Christ is this rock on which the ecclesia, the calling out, will be built. Jesus is the Christ. That's the call. He is risen from the dead. Oh, look, on that people will be called out. It's very straightforward. It's like literal talk, right? So that's the word church as it first shows up. It shows up also in Matthew 18, and I don't know if I searched for it here either. So let's see, church. There it is. Yeah, I did. So Matthew 18, this is where we're dealing a little bit with kind of what you're talking about. What do you do with someone who isn't acting the way they should act in the church? And it says, you know, go once by yourself. If they won't hear you, go with another. I mean, you could take that route, bring an elder along. You aren't coming to church. We're going to remove you from the roster. Like, you can do that. Or you can just realize they're gone. They've self-excommunicated. And you don't have to rub them off the mailing list just because they're not coming to church anymore. You know, that seems a lot easier to me in terms of stress load. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the ecclesia, those who are called out. And that seems to be a specific group of people, right? If he refuses even to hear the ecclesia, the called out ones, let him be to you as a heathen or a tax collector. Well, okay. So once they're no longer coming to church at all, aren't they refusing to hear the church? I mean, isn't that kind of the point of it? Like, they just won't come to church, right? So you do need to recognize that they're not in church. So, and if the church is the body of Christ, they're self-excluding from the body of Christ. Now, does that mean they won't go to heaven? Jesus judges on the last day. I don't know what faintly glimmering wick they've got. And well, is it my duty to go make the faintly glimmering wick blow up? If I know who they are, if I can go do that. But like, again, just a random list of people? No, it's not. It's a man-made facade, right? And again, it's a social club maintenance is what we're dealing with. So here we see in Acts chapter 2, the church, a vital church grows is the heading of the King James section. Is at the end of Peter's Pentecost sermon, where it talks about how they, many words they testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Many believed and were added to their numbers, 3,000 souls that day. They continue in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. There's your church definition again. This is what it means to gather together. And it's what? They're being called out to hear what the apostles taught, the doctrine, the word of the God, word of God, the scripture being taught. The fellowship, koinonia, that's a pretty key, like Lord's Supper-ish kind of word, especially when it's in the context of the breaking of bread. So you can look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 for that. And the prayers, that's not why we're here. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs are being done. All who believe were together and had all things in common. Sold their possessions, divided them, did anyone had needs. So daily, continuing with one another in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia, added to those who were being called out. Okay, hear it that way. Added to those who are being called out of darkness into the marvelous light every day. So speaking of that, then let's look at a couple of words that use the word calling, places where they use the word calling, and let's put the word church in these places. So Ephesians chapter 1, our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his church. His calling, right? His call out to you. What's that hope? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That is, you and others being saved. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Notice how church, his calling, is connected to believing. You believe what the calling says. Church is a place to hear and believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You can shift ahead to Ephesians chapter 4, and you have similar talk. It's all over the New Testament, this talk. These are just a couple examples. But Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the churching with which you were churched, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I mean, that's why you would reach out to someone who's missing. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were churched in one hope of your churching, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So the idea here, again, is to see that what is church is not a list of people who belong to a club or an institution or a structure. It is those who are hearing something and believing it. That's the definition of it, right? And so that's how I define a member of the church. It's somebody who is hearing and believing. So if you have people who were members of the body that are no longer members of the body, what do you do about that? If you know who they are, reach out to them. Anyone who's received a list of 15 or 50 or 75 people and you don't know who they are, you know that that's like impossible. I mean, you could do it. You can cold call them all. Unto what end? Unto a lot of answering machines. And you can do it, but to what level should you do it? I'm not going to tell you should do it. I think what you should do is feed the sheep. Feed the lambs, right? Disciple the disciples in the certainty that the Lord builds his church. He said that. I will build my church, not you. I will build my church. On what? The confession, the teaching that he's risen.